evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than B.O. You like that one?
I'm really going to live with this show.
We're really going out there today, aren't we?
I know what our show is better than. Every time I say this, I am very confident.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
And now since we do the syndicated portion, I have to think of every week two things our show is better than. It's not always so easy. Anywho, number to call if you're listening live on Tuesday night, 845-986-8804, 845-986-8804. You can join the chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com, clicking chat and listen live. Or if you're listening to one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, and go to the Davin's Den page at the bottom. Of course, you can just go to davinsden.com, click listen and chat live. You can do that too. I'm Davin Rosenblatt, laughing and giggling and agreeing with body odor as Pippi Alex.
I have agreeable body odor. Hi, everybody.
You most certainly do. It's an aphrodisiac. It's like oysters.
Oh.
You know what I saw in the supermarket? Oh, Joe will be here soon. You know what I saw in the supermarket?
Wait a minute. The B.O. Segue was not good.
B.O. has nothing to do with Joe.
Oh, oysters does.
No, Joe always smells fine.
Yes, he does.
I saw they had, like, clam juice.
Ew, I know.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
Is that like squeezed vaginas or is that from real clams?
I don't know, but no. It just looks so unappetizing.
Who goes, you know what, we should wring out these clams and can it and put an expiration date on it. How do you know when your clam juice is no good?
Do people drink it or cook with it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't eat that stuff, so I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's nasty to me when you go and eat other cuisines and they cook with fish sauce.
Yeah, but if they kill a lot, you eat a lot of stuff that's cooked with fish sauce.
I know, believe.
Joe had fish sauce on a Fat Horse Challenge.
Yeah, I did.
That was pretty vile, as I recall.
Yes, yeah. It's extremely vile. Why would you put that into your perfectly good food?
Because sometimes when you, I think it's salty. So I think sometimes when you cook with it.
Instead of salt?
No, I mean, I think it's a different flavor. But,
you know,
it's an Asian cooking.
It's... Yeah, I know, but it's just...
I think clam juice is when you're lonely and your girl is left and she's not going to be home for a while. You put a little dab on the old pillow, the sheets.
Oh, my God.
It's like she's there. It's the clam juice. Oh!
Oh, it's like when girls keep his coat or,
yes.
You know, the pillowcase with his aftershave on it.
Yes, same thing.
Clam juice. No.
How do you know?
I don't know. I never opened it. I just don't want to know.
If Joe needs to lose weight again, we are definitely going to do something with clam juice now that I know that's out there.
It's so disgusting.
We might just do that to Joe anyway. All right, anyway. On the show tonight, bands you like that are popular but people give you a shit for.
Well, that's my specialty, apparently.
Not really. I said bands that are popular. We'll get into that.
Well,
if you give us the old standard bear, we'll get into that.
Yeah, I know.
Because popular is a key word for that.
Well, you know what, but that...
We'll get into it.
Okay.
They have to be popular and widely reviled.
Oh, widely reviled.
Yeah, not just like three people, you know.
Oh, all right.
You know, popular and, you know, hated and popular at the same time.
Okay.
The Tommy Lama returns.
Yes.
We haven't had Tommy on in a while.
No.
I needed some spiritual guidance on how to handle all the political fighting on social media.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Tommy Lama was there to give me and share with you. Good advice.
Thank goodness, because you know what? I could use some of that as well.
Yes. Yeah, you're going to like it. I was very happy with what I learned from Mr. Llama.
Oh, good.
You have a new curmudgeonly philosophy?
Yes, I do.
And you got a brand new Bitches Be Crazy?
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to edit the song. So it's just going to go Bitches Be Crazy on the FCC. I don't give a shit. That's really what's going to happen, because Joe made me another one. He did make me another one, but for some reason I could never get it to play.
Oh, how weird. And well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that word.
I don't think so.
We're talking about dogs, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
And the Republicans are pushing a bill to allow the government to view your browsing history, so you might want to delete that when you're done with your clam juice.
Oh, no. Clam juice gone wild. That was a terrible sight.
And Ann Jackson. We also have more Ann Jackson, the never-ending saga.
Yeah, I know.
And show news. We are happy to announce that you can now find our show on NewYorkComedyWorld.com. It's a very comprehensive site of all things comedy-related, so check it out. I'm pretty happy to be part of that. Not a lot of shows part of that. About six or seven radio shows. They got stuff about shows coming up. Yeah, open mics, regular shows, all sorts of interesting stuff on there. So check out NewYorkComedyWorld.com. NewYorkComedyWorld.com. We are in the radio section. We are also happy to announce our newest sponsor, Angel Break Bakeries, and they're
Woof!
And they're delicious pita pillows. Pita pillows is the bread of comics. You can learn more at angelbakeries.com. That's angelbakeries.com. Well, with the exception of Sensei Fredico, everything is food related on this show.
I know. We are really very food oriented.
Bunch of heifers.
Food motivated.
Bunch of fat fucks. Just gorging ourselves and then giving them the puppy eyes to sponsor.
I just went, ooh, pita pillows.
Yes.
That sounds fantastic.
It does. Pita pillows. So, got a brand new read for that. We had our crack advertising department work on that.
Yeah, you mean the ones that smoke crack?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it was a long week. What do you want from
that
me?
Group? Hey, nothing. Pass the ball.
So we got a lot to get to tonight. So what's going on with you?
I took a header on Sunday.
No, you're supposed to give a header, not take a header.
I know. I got it all wrong.
You see, this is why you're not popular.
I know. Not even with Mr. Helix.
No.
He's like, you're doing it wrong. I know.
Stop headbutting me. No. No.
It's like, that's what the cats do to me. That's not what you're supposed to do.
This is not central at all. Where's the clam juice?
I know. It's like, no wonder those bottles of clam juice have been in the recycling bin. when I'm not around. Anyway, I was at my friend's backyard, and we, you know, there's just a small group of us having a barbecue.
Were you having some wine coolers?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Your little Bartles and James, you couldn't handle it.
Yeah, I know. You know what? It wasn't even that.
It wasn't Bartles and James?
No.
Was it Seagram's?
No, it was, we were having with the drinks that we put together ourselves.
Ooh,
there's
strong.
One that's woo-woos, one is this peach schnapps concoction, and the other one is this strawberry drink. So they're fruity, but they're full of vodka.
You guys should have played Boozy or Floozy.
I know, we didn't name them, but we I know. Well, we're Boozy and Floozy when we hang out. So my one friend, Lori, points at the sky and goes, look at that! Now, where I'm sitting, I'm underneath an umbrella.
What does she think she's at? The Cincinnati Zoo and that's Harambe? What the fuck is she doing? Look at that. It's a human being.
No, she's pointing up in the sky.
There's a man in the sky?
No, I didn't say there was a man in the sky. There was something in the sky.
Oh, Christ.
And so she was like, look at that. What is that? And
it's a cock.
No, flying cock. No, no. And so I was under the umbrella and I can't see. So I happen to be holding my other friend's phone because she was showing me something. I get up in a hurry. I'm holding the phone in one hand. I turn around to go past my chair and get to where she's standing to see what she's looking at. And I'm not looking down. I'm looking up. I tripped right over this bag cooler that was next to my chair and I forgot it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I went straight down on the slate patio, like knees first.
Well, that's the position we prefer.
Apparently, I banged my arm on the barbecue
like
on the way down. I know.
It's like when the inside of your body isn't rebelling against you, you smash the outside of it.
The outside decided this is my moment.
Did you bleed there, too?
I didn't bleed.
Good.
No, I
keep that vial fluid to yourself.
Actually, I'm starting to bruise.
Oh, you see a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's not quite as florid as I would have expected. It's just getting to, like, a little bit of green.
Yeah, right.
But I'm down on, like, my elbows and on my knees on the ground.
Was somebody pushing your head?
No, not this time.
I should have been there.
Yeah, I know. It would have been, anybody sitting there would have been in for a treat.
Well.
Except I was already moaning.
Nice.
And so I was like, I'm trying to figure out what just happened. Is anything broken? How bad does it hurt and where?
Oh, gravity's not your friend.
It's not my friend. Not, and Slate is not my friend.
He's handsome.
Yes, he is, but hard. Mm. Oh, wait. I said that
you
like
never
it was
see a fat
bad
guy
thing.
Named Slate.
No.
No, if you're Slate, you're buff and you're going to age well.
Yeah.
You can't look like a shit stain and be named Slate. You can't.
Or Rod.
No, I've seen some fat rods.
You have seen?
Well, that didn't come out right.
I made you say it.
Of course you did. Well, there's certain names that you have to live up to. Slate is one of them.
Yeah, that sounds like a buff guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in shape and good looking.
Yeah.
And tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, Slate was not there under me. It was just me in the ground. And my friends came around like, oh. They're like, what's about? And I go, I just need a moment. Did you ever fall really hard on the ground?
When you lose your wind.
Yes.
I haven't done that in a long time. But when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And, like, I was, like, on a tire swing in my backyard.
Yeah.
And I'm swinging fast back and forth. I think it was on my tummy. Well, I'm, like, 12, whatever the hell it is. And then the rope broke. And then I'm going to fly. I was Superman for a little while. And then you're like, I also fell off my sliding. Well, we had like a swing set. Everybody in the 70s and early 80s had a swing set in the backyard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I had a swing set, and I think I missed. And I fell from the top of the slide.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's starting to sound like Helter Skelter.
Yeah. So when I was a young kid, I was as coordinated as you are currently.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and like people are asking you were okay, and you really can't respond.
You can't.
And you think you're dying.
Yeah, and so now I'm facing away from everybody. They can't see if there's blood. Am I alive? Did I hit my face?
They can't walk around.
Well, not yet, because we had stuff all over the place. I mean, it's kind of a little patio, and there's chairs, and there's, you know, I mean, there's other impediments they're going to trip over, apparently. So it's like it took everybody a while. So my friend gets close enough to me, and I go, I just need a moment. Now, I realize that in front of me is the outside protective case of my friend's phone without the phone in it.
Oh, no.
And I went, oh, that can't be good. Yeah, I swallowed it.
Oh, that's not what I meant.
Now, that's coordinated uncoordinatedness.
That'd be awesome. That'd be the best story ever.
I know. Take me to the ER. Oh.
Your ass is ringing.
Rosa, you're getting a call.
Just going to squeeze your cheeks over to pick it up.
No, I wasn't squeezing any chicks. I was just,
cheeks.
I know. So I go, and I had to roll over onto one knee. They got a pad for me to roll over onto because my knees were killing me.
They got a pad?
Yeah.
They couldn't walk around you, but they got a pad.
No, they got, well, there was a little, like, pad outside someplace. Sakes. And so they put a pad down so I could, like, roll over onto it on my hip. And there's the phone underneath me. But I didn't break it.
Well, because you're so delicate.
Oh, no. I cushioned its fall. No,
that's
no,
nice.
No. No, it cushioned
it's
my
good.
Fall.
It's good to be squishy.
I know. It is good. I don't know what happened.
If you were like Slate, things were broken in half.
Oh, it would have been cracked.
Because you're not like Slate, the phone lives another day.
It does.
There you go. Working out is not good for you.
No. Thank you. Yeah. Isolate that. I need to bring that with me everywhere.
Absolutely. I think that goes for everybody. Don't work out. You're going to break things. Be squishy.
No,
electronics welcomes you.
Well, I'm old, so I'm glad that I you know, didn't break a hip or some nastiness.
You're not that old.
Well,
you're not
know.
Hip breaking old.
No, not hip.
You are
breaking
definitely
going to
break a hip, though, as you get older.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, you're going to
because
be,
I'm a klutz.
You're going to be put down. Yeah. Yeah, you've got about 15, 20 more decent years left, maybe.
You think?
Being optimistic.
Oh,
I don't want
right.
to depress you.
I'm glad that you're erring on the side of caution.
I am.
Yeah.
I don't think you got much more than that, let's be honest. Yeah. It's only so many tumbles you can take.
Well, they die early in my family, so I'm not expecting much more than that anyway.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, I mean,
probably the week after you retire.
You know, if I get there.
Yeah.
My dad didn't get there, so I'm not expecting to.
Well, you usually outlive your parents.
Do you?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's not going to take a lot of doing for me because
you're
they
already
died
there.
Young. No, not yet.
See, your parents were smart. They wanted to set the bar low. Those are good parents right there.
Yeah, you know, thanks.
They didn't want you to feel bad.
If I don't make it too far?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, look.
You've already exceeded their expectations in every way possible.
They set the bar really friggin' low.
Well, that was nice of them. Those are good parents.
Yeah, no, that was good. Thanks for dying early. Wait, what?
Not so many words, but yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my excitement and brokenness, and that's why my back is killing me today.
As opposed to the other reasons why you're usually in pain.
Yeah, my back is always a sore spot, but I really like gave it a reason to be awful today.
Oh, well, feel better.
Thank you.
And everybody move your phones around, Pip.
Yeah, I know. Take them out of my hands. I have no business holding anybody's phone.
You know what? This story would have been a lot worse if you broke the phone, because then you would have had a pissed off friend.
Oh, I know. I know. And I mean, this is it's probably not true, but I was for a moment, I was like, what would she have done if I broke that phone?
Kicked you.
Probably.
I would have. I most certainly would
have. Don't phones have insurance?
No.
No?
Don't you have insurance?
Me?
Yeah.
Personally? Yeah.
So then we can kick you.
I thought you meant cover the phone.
No.
Oh, no.
I mean, if something's got to break, it better be you. You're insured.
It usually is.
There's Obamacare, not Obama phone care.
So. Okay. Well, so what's going on with you?
Let's see. Last week, my daughter graduated. Is it graduating the fourth grade? Moved up.
Moved up.
Moved up. We got a report card today. Holy shit, this kid's like all year, all her whole career, AB student. Hey, this kid's really smart.
Wow.
Yeah, pain in the ass. Really smart.
That's from the wife.
That she's a pain in the ass?
No, the smart.
No, I think she actually takes after me, and I'll tell you why.
What?
She does really well on spelling, and I was very good at spelling. She does good with writing and stuff like that. Math is her weak point. But she's still getting mid-80s in math and everything. Math was always my weak point. My wife is better in math than I am. I don't even bother. We were, like, doing fourth, fifth grade stuff now. Maybe it's sixth. I don't know. I don't even. She comes to me. I go, wait for your mother to get home. I can't.
I wouldn't be able to help them either.
These kids are learning algebra now. I, like.
Algebra now?
Yeah, like, I.
Fourth grade?
I had, like, a D average in algebra in, like, the seventh grade. There was many a night where my father was trying to help me figure it out, and it was not working. I would have to go in for extra help. I got it by the eighth grade. But apparently, you know, all these kids today, yeah, they're smarter than we are.
Yeah,
they're doing more than we are.
They are.
Yeah, but, you know, it's fun to shit on the youth when they are so much more advanced than we are.
I mean, you give a two-year-old a computer, and they can look up stuff, and they're playing with their phones, and they're doing these things. I don't have a smartphone. I don't know how to use a smartphone.
No, well, because you'll break it.
I know. But babies know how to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, apparently we have static coming from us. You know, I mean, besides the usual static we give each other, we actually have technical difficulty kind of static.
All right.
What do you think?
I don't know. Is it loud?
Well, enough that they're noticing it and saying...
Has it been the whole time?
Oh, they just mentioned it.
I guess I can restart it. Do that. And we'll see you again.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, don't go anywhere. I'm just going to restart. Be back in a sec. Hopefully that's better now. I don't know. If not, there's not much I can do about it.
No.
But hopefully that works.
Somebody in the chat said, oh, it's getting better. And Joe's girl said, yes, because they're restarting.
This is the best part of the show ever. They're not talking.
The dead air part is the best.
I wish they would do more of this. They should
it's
call
better.
It Davin's Dead Air.
Davin's Dead Air.
Such a better, just play the hits and Davin's Dead Air. A much better show.
Yeah, much better. It's like, oh, you know what part I liked? When they stop talking.
Yes, that's my favorite part.
Yeah, well, you like it when I stop talking.
I like it when we all stop talking. I like it when we shut off the lights and I go up to bed. That's my favorite part.
Oh, mine too.
Yes. But thank you, DenPen, for helping us with that.
Yes, thank you.
Sometimes it happens. It could be weather. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know, but every once in a while we get the crackle. Maybe I should stop it. Opening those butterscotches during
the
show.
Yes, that wasn't static, you fools. That was Pip eating foil.
I'm eating my candy during the movie.
I'm a little worried about Joe. Joe usually texts me when he's going to be this late.
Well, he emailed me and said that he was leaving at
4,
but you know
me.
What that means.
He did text me.
Oh, he did? Say in your...
Oh, wow. And I checked it, and he should be here now. And he's not, so, so he sucks.
Okay. He's a lying so-and-so. You know how
well,
it is.
Well, we know this about him. All right. So Joe will be here any minute now.
Yes.
I was going to be concerned, but no, I'm not.
Gray, a new listener, said that we'll be playing his music tonight.
Yes, we will.
And he said that it's sort of a meditation show.
Yeah, meditation before you, like, stab yourself with an ice pick. But you know what? When we talk to the Tommy Lama, it's a very karma-centric type thing. So
good.
It is meditation-like. Yes, I know exactly... Who that is? That is because we are going to. We got a lot of new music tonight. You know, we play the new music on the live show. We got a lot of it tonight, and that's probably Greyhound OCD. In a little while, we're going to be playing their single "Open Eyes."
Nice.
Yeah. So, but anywho, what else? So my daughter moved up to the They have this whole graduation ceremony, but
yeah.
She's staying in the school, so I don't know why we went. But whatevs. I'm told I should go, so I go.
Okay.
I show up. My new game is not my new game. Do I look older or younger than the other parents? That's my game now. This is what I do because, you know, you can't – because it's a while till they get your kid up there and, you know, with the announcements and the speeches and everything. So you look around.
Right.
And then if somebody looks really shitty, you go, well, that's got to be a grandparent. But you don't know.
No, not today because people start in their second families.
Yeah. I think the key to maintaining the youthful appearance is, first of all, your body can't start breaking down.
Right.
You got to be still walking upright. It's going to help you look. You can't be bow-legged. You can't be so fat that walking is a struggle.
you can't have that dowager's hump.
No. When you're that fat, it ages you.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And gray hairs. You can't have a lot of gray hairs. Although at my age, it's perfectly acceptable to have gray hair.
There's a men's club.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be becoming a member. Don't you worry.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
No, that's not. That's the hair club. Oh, the men's?
That's hair club. I'm talking about the dyeing the hair.
Oh, yeah. Well, first, I think I got to dye the goatee. I got to keep the goatee short. When it's short like this, it's not so bad.
I'm staring because I'm trying
to
see.
Take it all in.
Well, you're sitting directly across from me. I always stare at you lovingly.
Yes, but my goatee is sleek.
But the thing, your goatee's on fleek. I think that's what the kids say today. It's about eyebrows for some reason. I don't know why everybody became obsessed with eyebrows.
I got good eyebrows. Eyebrows are probably my best quality. Those are some good eyebrows.
No, they're not.
They're not good eyebrows?
They're not your best quality.
They don't meet in the middle. That's a win.
I do not
have a unibrow. There's a clear, distinct part.
There's a distinct part.
They're not extremely bushy. For a guy, eyebrows, these eyebrows, as good as it gets.
Yay.
I feel these eyebrows are up there with the best. I don't say that about much about myself or my body, but I'm going to go on a limb and say that about my eyebrows. These are young eyebrows.
No, you know what your best quality is?
Leaving.
Yes, the back of you going.
Yes.
No, your dimples.
Oh, well, thank you.
No, your dimples are really cute.
Oh, I thank you.
And so it's like your dimples and your eyes are the first things that I think that most people notice.
And it's weird because I usually have my dick on the table and nobody says a thing.
I look right past it to look at the dimples.
They like avert their eyes or squint. I don't know what the hell that
is. Actually, I was talking about the dimples on your dick.
Unusual. It smiles. But if you can keep, if you can keep your hair, because I'm starting to get more gray. Like when I have gel in it, you can't see the grays at all.
No, because.
But now, right now, I got nothing in my hair. I'm starting to get some.
No, I don't see them from here.
You're right across the table.
But if I go over and like start to pick the nits, like I'm an orangutan,
yes.
Then I'll notice.
Yes,
you know?
And if you start throwing feces at me, I'll know there's a problem.
Well, don't talk about what we do during the break.
That is the break. So, yeah, I feel pretty good. There are definitely people that are younger, look younger than me, and I just assume they are younger than me.
Well, you know, I mean, you have a very youthful face. You do. You always have. But it's like by virtue of the fact that you're standing there with a child, that it's like, okay.
No, I'm not. She's on the stage. I could just be something like a pedophile. No, I am unencumbered.
And you would rather look like the pedophile than like the dad?
Depending on the day.
Oh, God.
Depending on what the child is doing to embarrass me.
Oh, Lisa says your humor is your best feature, Davin.
Oh, I thank you. Another way of saying you're really ugly. I appreciate that. That's what chicks say. He's got a great sense of humor. Would you bang him? No, he's really funny, though.
He's funny.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, for girls, it's what a pretty face. Oh, so, you know.
Yeah, it's the same thing. She's really cool.
She's cool. She's funny. She's so sweet.
Yeah. Great girl to hang out with.
Oh, yeah.
She's got a great personality.
Yeah, but I wouldn't touch it.
Say that. It's understood.
No, I know. It's understood.
When somebody's overwhelmingly hot, that is the first thing you say. Well, you say. They're
hot, good. Right.
Yeah, that's the first thing. When that is not there, there are other fallback positions.
Oh, yeah, no. Everybody talks about my personality.
Yeah, you got a great personality. Now, if you are ugly and you have a lousy personality, kill yourself.
Truly.
You have no purpose.
You know what? This is really, really shallow. But I looked at this person who joined a group that I'm on Facebook today. And so I just wanted to see who, you know, the person said, here's my friend that just joined the group. Everybody say hi. And so I looked and I was like, damn! I mean, this girl.
Maybe it wasn't really their picture.
No.
Maybe the person's really hot, but they didn't want everybody to be drawn to it, so they took an ugly picture.
No.
There's an ugly person who's a victim of ID
theft. ID theft?
Yes.
Like reverse psychology.
Yeah, sure.
I can see girls doing that.
Absolutely. Why not?
No. Actually, in real life, I can see girls doing that. Because I put it out there on Facebook at one point. I said, you know, I just for a little bit. And I said, I'm not looking for compliments. Don't even start with that bullshit.
Thank God I didn't see it.
I know. No, you would have murdered me. I'm like, I'm not looking for, don't talk about me or what I look like. That's not what I'm asking. I just would love to know what it's like to be the hot girl.
Oh, we
for
talked
once.
About this on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, and women were like, oh, you have no idea.
Oh, whatever.
No,
you know what? A cock in every cunt.
What? A cock in every pot?
That's the better word for it.
I think it's a chicken in every pot.
Well, say, you know what? the burden of being attractive. Kill yourself.
No, you know what?
I don't care.
Everybody's got problems.
Everybody's got problems. I know. Their problems are... You know what? Here's the thing. When you were attractive...
Yeah.
And you were trying to merge...
Yes.
In traffic?
Yes.
People will let you merge. Nobody lets the ugly person merge. I'm the same way. If you're a hot chick, go right ahead. If you're a guy, go fuck yourself.
It's so weird, though. Why? You're not getting anything off that hot chick.
Because in the back of our mind, we think, well... If there's a massive car accident at the end of this highway and we're all stuck and society ends and we are there for days, this hot woman is going to remember how courteous I was and bang me.
Is that what it takes?
It must be.
It's like dinner, flowers. No. He let me go in front of him in traffic.
That's big. That's better. Anybody can do dinners and flowers. When you rush hour traffic to let somebody merge, that's love.
Actually, you know what? That is big.
Absolutely.
That, in humanitarian points, that works for me.
Honestly, I feel that when that happens, both people should pull over to the nearest rest area and treat should be done. I kind of feel that's what happens. If you're going to allow somebody to merge based on their looks, well, I kind of feel needs to be some type of reciprocation.
Yeah, but what if you... I mean, you're not going to, like, not accept the merge. I mean, you're not going to not accept going into traffic, but you're the person who let you go? Yeah, I don't know him anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you kind of
the hot chick?
You kind of do. No. Yeah, I let you get a car ahead.
Nice wave.
At least one car ahead. I let you get a car ahead. That's big.
No, the nice wave.
Nobody wants
no
you
treats.
Stupid. Nobody wants you a flash. A flash. Something.
No.
I'm trying to get home too. Listen, bitch, I've been stuck in this traffic. You're the one in the wrong lane. I'm going to let you in. And you know I'm going to let you in because you're hot and hot people get special things, which is what I'm saying. A little something.
But it's not always that. People let me get cut in front of them in traffic and I'm not hot. I don't know what they're doing.
They're attractive. People want to let you in.
Well, thank you. Wait. people want to let me
in. You know what I mean.
In.
Anyhow, all right.
But no. I'm like, you know, can I? I think it's because I have the nice face. You know, like, I'm like, hi.
As opposed
to
the bearded lady face?
Yeah. Well, I work really hard on that because if I didn't, I would look just like you with your goatee. I swear.
Yeah, but you'd have cute dimples.
No, I don't have the dimples to carry off the goatee. So that ruins it for me. I have to pluck.
I think I'm right. In the middle. I think there are definitely younger parents, and that's going to keep on happening, and that's pissing me off.
Yeah, I know.
I think there's probably a few that are older, some older parents.
Yeah.
But I think I'm holding up all right. That's the game I play, because what else am I going to do? Because phone reception isn't that great in there. So.
Well, but most women play is, am I as fat as her?
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Thing.
So you're like, am I, like, do I look as young as these people?
Something that when women... become mothers, their ass gets flat and spreads.
Really?
I think so.
Did you see a lot of that at this?
Yeah, because you see, like, a lot of people go, I bet they were attractive not too long ago. I think it's kids. I think kids just suck it out of you.
Oh, well, a lot of women who had children say that the having childbirth sucks a lot out of them. But then I look and I see Heidi Klum on TV and I'm like, you bitch!
You can't count them. They have special regimens. They have people cooking for them.
They have people that do
everything.
They have
personal trainers. And
they have plastic surgery.
Yes, and they're not chasing. You can't count them.
No, you can't count them because they don't count.
I think kids flatten the woman's ass.
Okay.
And extend the man's gut.
That's where it goes.
I think all the good stuff that was in the ass, if it goes right to the man's gut. I think that will. Now some of these women have huge asses. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, I'm sure.
But like even like black guys go, that's a little much.
That's funny. Racist, but funny.
Are you new?
Yes.
And I'm the liberal.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I mean, so that's. You know, so then I'm thinking, well, you see this go, I need to start working out again. And it sounds good until you get home and go, I'm tired. What's on TV?
I need
a snack.
Right. You know, it's like, I'm like, oh, I should go to the gym today after work. And then it's like, yeah, but I didn't really eat a lot at lunch and I need a peanut butter and jelly. You know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, all of the, and it's like, oh, I got to, you know, I got to redo, I got to take the stuff out of the dishwasher and stack that stuff away and put the stuff that's in the sink that was soaking, put it in the dishwasher. Now I gotta go do some laundry. You know, let me say hello to the cats. As soon as I sit down and say hello to the cats, I'm done.
You're done.
Done.
So I think the key to being youthful is hanging out with older people.
Yes. Ugly people.
Ugly people.
Yes.
But I really think the drinking, smoking, and not suntanning a lot.
Oh, that helps a lot.
I mean, I've always gotten
I don't put on sunblock or anything like that, but I don't
lay out anymore.
I know, but you don't put on any sunblock?
No,
not even if you know you're going to be in the sun?
I generally don't.
Oh, you should.
I should.
The
but
Mr. Melanoma is going to come for you.
But I think that's how I think that's how you stay young.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And if you don't have kids, you'll stay even younger.
Yeah, well,
I could look 21 if it wasn't for my daughter. You know what else I noticed? The corner in the eyes.
Crow's feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I look for now. I'm like, no, I still got this.
Yeah, but crow's feet come from laughing, too.
That, well, I don't laugh. Nothing's funny. Nothing is funny.
I know.
And hands. Hands. I'm lucky with the hands because you start seeing the age on the hands.
Yeah. Well, also the thing is that, I mean, not to make a pun, but like if you're handy and you work around with your hands a lot,
yeah,
like if you like do stuff around the house and
yeah,
everything, then you tend to get more bumps and bruises. And my hands are a mess. But then again.
Well, what I say is, I go, listen, I'm not doing any. I tell my wife, I'm not doing anything for you.
What?
What? I could be handy around the house, but then this is all going to go to shit, and you don't want that. There's no reason to sacrifice both of us. You go do the manual labor.
Oh, I bet that goes over.
Because look at these hands.
Oh, my God, you're George Costanza all of a sudden.
I am George
Costanza. The hand model.
I am a hand model. I am a hand model. I should be a hand model.
Wait, give me your hand. Oh, my God, your hands are soft.
Of course they are.
Oh, my God.
They're supple.
They're really, now, my hands feel rough. Kind of.
Oh, your hands are fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Your hands are so soft.
No lotion.
No?
No lotion.
That's a little crazy, dude.
No.
I mean, not
just imagine how good they feel on breasts. I know.
I don't want that thought in my head. Now, listeners, if that appeals to you, good. I don't want to think about
that.
I'm
going to ship them a pair of my hands.
No, they can think about that stuff. I have to sit across from you. I'm not sitting
Look
on
at them.
My picture.
Look at these hands.
Picture them on the jugs.
Girls like the soft hands. Guys kind of make fun of them. But anyway.
Well, yeah. Well, but then again, you know, not every guy is doing stuff that it's not everybody's job is like going out in the field and like, you know.
No. No. But my job is to tell you to go into the field. That is my job.
I know. And my back hurts. So I don't want to go in the field today.
I make the sacrifice for you.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Somebody has to manage.
I am a good manager.
And you don't use lotion.
I don't use lotion.
Yeah,
I find it oily.
I like to lotion because my I'm just
girls
like
to lotion. Girls are, yeah. Girls and black people like to lotion.
Yeah.
I don't lotion.
No.
Monday be one day I'll lotion. Not a lotioner.
Yeah, but maybe that's why black doesn't crack because they
it gets
lotion
ashy.
Up.
Gets ashy.
Yeah, but you
I remember in college, my buddy, our fraternity brother Mark, who was older than us because he was in the Navy. So I was gonna say I was like 19. He's probably 28, 29 at the time. And he's a big black man. I mean, love that guy. He's actually in the hospital right now. Hope he's feeling okay.
Oh.
But me and my roommate at the time, we walk into Mark's dorm room, and he's just in his underwear, huge guy, gut and everything, just lotioning up, just making sure he doesn't get ashy.
Yep, I know.
I understand.
I know.
I understand.
The girl in the next room to us when I was first in a dorm was there lotioning up, but she was also putting, if I remember this correctly, I think it was like, what's that, that gel, the... Oh, God. You
aloe
know,
vera?
Clear. No, a clear
KY?
Gel. No, not that kind of
Analyze?
Gel.
Analyze?
No, the clear kind of gel that you use, not Vicks. Oh, God. I can't think. Like, what thing people think that you should use for lube, but you really shouldn't.
KY? Vaseline?
No, Vaseline.
That's not
Thank
clear.
You.
It's yellow.
No, it's yellowish.
Joe walks
like
in, Vaseline, let me drop trousers. I came in right at the right time.
Vaseline is wheezing. He's
Last
laughing
time
so
Joe
hard.
Came in all angry. Now he's all titillated. My 2 weeks changes. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
I just bought a new phone, so I wasn't able to. I haven't sat with the settings, so I wasn't able to listen to the show. Oh, my God, it'll be interesting to come down cold.
At least you're pleasant this time.
You come down to me and
get a new
phone
all the time. You're much more pleasant this way.
We're coming down. KY, no, Vaseline.
That's what
and he's like,
in.
What the hell's going
that's
on?
That's what I walked into.
Do you guys want me to leave?
No, something walked into you. You just hope there's a proper amount of Vaseline before they
yes,
do.
Yes, yes.
And by the way, both the girls in the chat knew it was Vaseline. Thank you.
Of course they did.
Yeah. But it's like, but she was putting Vaseline in her hair.
Yeah. Who, why? Who?
No, this was
her college neighbor.
Yeah, my college neighbor in
okay.
the dorm. She was the point
was
we were talking. No, she was black. And apparently she was like...
like they're mutually exclusive.
Just look at him and he's like, what am I going to do?
It's like, it was like racist, but you were being nice?
No, I didn't mean to be racist. I was just like, it wasn't because she was kooky. The reason she was doing it is because apparently, and I didn't know this, but like she told me that black people have to like lubricate their scalp. And I was like, really?
I've never heard this.
I didn't live with black people, so it was my first person that...
I think she was just nuts.
Maybe she was nuts.
I think she was just nuts.
Yeah, I've never seen a black person. I got to go out and get some Vaseline. I'm going to stick this head somewhere, and I want it to be all loomed up.
Can you imagine going, some black people go, hey, not for nothing, do you put KY jelly in your hair just because it gets dry?
Not KY!
Well, there's one black guy who hangs out at the compound. Ask him. That's your exposure to the black folk. So he might need to know. He's got a scalp. If it's nice and shiny, Pip was right. He'll be fine. You know he can't be a kook. He's black.
No, wait. If you just have a scalp, you could put anything on it, but it's specifically they're putting it on their scalp in between their hair.
No.
To moisturize.
It's called Jerry Curl.
No, well, that's to put on the hair itself, but this is to put on the scalp. I'm going to have to, like, bother black people I know and go, hey.
You usually do.
Wait, I'm going to ask Amaru.
Okay. Let me know how that works out for
you. Yeah, I know. He'll be like, why? Am I the only black person you know, you crazy bitch?
And you will say yes.
And I'll say yes, really.
But go, that's okay. I know you're not a kook, and you'll answer. So we got a lot of concerts to review.
Yes.
Oh,
I went to Whitesnake and Soul Asylum, and Joe went to Journey.
Mm-hmm.
I like when we do concert reviews, because weird shit always happens at concerts.
Yes.
I like when we do these reviews. It's better when a couple of us are together, but I will paint the picture for you.
Thank you.
So last Tuesday, we didn't do a show, because I'd rather hang out with David Coverdale and Whitesnake than you fuckers. I went to the Whitesnake concert and with Whitford St. Holmes. That's why we didn't do a show.
Yes.
Because I wanted to see Whitesnake. Whitesnake was like one of the big...
You're the boss. You don't have to generate...
No, I'm telling them, not you.
Right. And I was like, we know why.
Telling them.
We knew why.
Okay. No, because Whitesnake was one of those big bands from the 80s, even though they were around from the 70s.
Yeah.
That I'd never seen.
Oh, okay. And so it's like some of these bands, though, you got to see them now before they die.
Exactly. And with Whitford St. Holmes, you know, Whitford is in Aerosmith, so I like to support them because they need my money.
Well, you know, but that's your mothership, so I understand.
That is my mothership. And it was in Montclair, New Jersey, which is not far from here.
No.
What was the venue?
The Wellmont Theater. Have you ever heard of this?
I've heard of
it. I have. I think Jimmy Norton played that. That's the only way I heard of it.
Well, yeah, that makes sense because they got Jay Leno coming in and Paula Poundstone. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. But I'd never heard of it. I'd never heard of this Wellmont Theater before. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's not too far. Mm-hmm. Go see. It's a good show. It was $60 for general admission, which means that you're standing. I'm not a fan of that. Not a fan of the standing.
Me neither.
The only thing about the standing is when I went to see Baby Metal was general admission. And you figure you get in there, you wheedle in. But when I got there, it was so crowded. You have to sit where you are.
You were with me when we saw Twisted Sister, right?
Yes, yes.
I think that was standing.
But we managed to wheedle up. And it depends on how the venue is set up. Sometimes you could wheedle because at Nokia Theater, there was like kind of like seats up front. And then you were standing in the middle and there were seats in back. So you kind of...
It's just the whole thing is standing. I'm a sitter.
Yeah.
You don't get this physique by not sitting.
Yeah.
You got to maintain.
Yeah.
I'm a maintaining sitter.
Yes.
That's what I am.
I like to maintain and sit.
But, you know, so we got there. We actually got to the fourth row from center stage.
Well, it's not bad.
No.
No.
I was very happy with that. It's always interesting. I liked... to check out the makeup of the audience when I see these older bands.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, like, it's always good when you're like the youngest.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Which doesn't happen that much anymore. But
no.
Still, these bands, there's people older than me because these bands were big in the 80s and I was just a kid and these people were living life in the 80s.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to these bands when I'm 10, 11, 12, whatever the hell it is.
You see a lot of gray heads.
I did see a couple things that surprised me. I saw a black kid. Which I did not expect to see at this concert.
I just want everybody to know that sometimes people call me the racist on this show. She is going to be asking a black person about what they put in their hair. He sees a black kid. I'm a nice guy. I just sit and listen.
No, because you and your buddy would go, hey, there's my black kid over there.
If Donald Trump was David Coverdale, the concert would have stopped to acknowledge him.
And he wouldn't ask him if he puts Vaseline on his head. He'd be having his brown shirts throwing him out.
He would say, I sell Vaseline to the blacks. That's what Donald Coverdale would do.
Wait a minute. If it's singular, is it the black?
Is
he the black?
There was like a black kid. I think there was an older black guy. The black kid was like probably 11 or 12.
Like air drumming?
He was like air drumming. Is that what you're doing? Cool.
That is cool.
And there was like probably when Whitesnake was on, I was right up against the stage to the right. There was probably like a 6-year-old, 7, 8,
I don't know.
Singing, like mouthing every Whitesnake song.
Oh, God. I hope they didn't play Slide It In.
Slide
it in right to the top. Slide it in. Slide it in right to the top.
It's
baby.
A playground song. Don't
That's
ruin
right.
it.
You talk too much.
That's a marriage song.
Good. Good.
Slow and easy.
Slow and easy.
How you do your homework. These are all wholesome tunes.
That's playing on the swings.
I don't know if
wholesome. Wholesome.
I don't know.
Wholesome place.
That's what he said.
They're wholesome tunes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if the kid was a member of the band, like a member, like a band member's, family, or yeah. I don't know what it was, but I thought that was pretty interesting. So all these people, they were like partying hard, in the 80s, and now they look like the house from the party the day after. Like they need to be put out on the curb. Some of them are broken.
Yes. It's when you get old, because I was driving down Ocean Parkway to go to my show last night, and I'm having, I've got coffee in the car. And I remember, used to be my buddy's van with beers and weed.
Well, it's going to be a late night. You need coffee to stay up.
But that's the rationale now.
It's past my bedtime.
And a prune Danish.
You got one of those?
But I couldn't imagine, going with beer. And I just want a nice cup of coffee for the ride there. You try to fight getting older as much as you can. But sometimes you get comfortable being older. You know what I'm saying?
That's how you slip into death.
Well, it eases you in.
I just agree with it. I'm like, yes, yes, oldness. I know. I'm an old. I'm digging through my purse to get the right change at the counter. I know. Here it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the first band is Whitford St. Holmes. They have released an album in 1981 when Aerosmith was
turmoil.
And Derek St. Holmes is the lead singer for Ted Nugent for like songs like Stranglehold and everything. He's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And I would never see Ted Nugent at this point.
No.
But I like
because of his music or because of his views.
All right. First of all, I'm not paying top dollars to see Ted Nugent ever. That was never.
That wasn't the question. Because of his music, because of his views.
At this point, probably because of his views. I would be torn if he ever got with Damn Yankees, because I like the band Damn Yankees. They had two albums together. They had Tommy Shaw
from Styx.
Really good band.
They had two albums. They're not going to reform. But if they were to reform,
they might. They got together, but that's neither here nor there.
They were the undercard of a show that I wanted to say, maybe then. But I'm not paying to see Ted Nugent because of his politics. It's just too much. I mean, I don't care if my singers are right or left wing, but he's vile at this point.
Yeah.
So that's why. And I really dig the song Stranglehold.
Ah.
I really like it. It's a long song, but I like that. And Brad Whitford I'm always going to support.
And not for the obvious reasons, but I do like Cat Scratch Fever, but it's like I don't need to go see him to hear it.
There's good tunes.
Yeah.
There's good tunes. So they're selling their new CD for $15, and you get the one from 1981 with it, which I would have bought, but I already had the one from 1981. Like, if I didn't have either, that's how cheap I am. If I didn't have either, I would have gotten it.
Right.
I'm like, I don't really need it.
What are you going to do with something you already have?
Yeah.
Well, I could give it. As a shitty Christmas present.
It would be, too.
Whitford St. Holmes, how did you know?
How did you know?
Joe, did you get the same as me? Yeah,
1981. Interesting.
And it's still on cassette. Not even a CD.
Whitford and St. Holmes and Whitesnake are selling T-shirts, $40 a piece. I'm not buying. That's a little much for me. But it's funny, Whitford and St. Holmes are like still selling T-shirts from the album cover of 1981 with their faces on it when they looked young. And it's like, stop it.
Really? Is that like your Grindr profile picture now?
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah. So it was interesting, though. Brad Whitford got to do something he does not get to do when he's with Aerosmith.
Sing?
Talk.
Oh, really? Oh, weird. Yes.
Just sit there and play stupid.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, Steven Tyler does most of the talking, and he's very good at it. Mm-hmm. And we let Joe Perry mumble a couple of words now and then, otherwise he gets all pissy.
That's pretty much the deal.
That's pretty much.
That's how Aerosmith runs.
Yeah, it's like Kiss, you know, Paul and Gene, you know, they'll talk.
The other guys shut your
and
face.
And the villain shut the fuck up. Yeah. That's pretty much what.
Yeah.
But Brad Whitford said a couple of things.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what they were. You know, it was nice to see. The band is really tight.
Mm.
But it was kind of interesting. They kind of, you know, Derek mentions him and Brad and the Whitford St. Holmes band.
And all you guys.
Yeah, and they're a good
really?
Band. I feel bad for the drummer, though, because the drummer was thrilled to be there. He's Slash's drummer.
Yeah.
Like that one that was touring with Slash.
Yeah, but I don't know who he was.
I've never seen a guy so happy to drum. He is smiling the whole time, like he is riding a dildo and it feels good. I've never seen such a happy-go-lucky drum. It made me feel good.
That's funny.
But here was the weird thing, because he's not on the riser, because that's where Whitesnake's gear is. Mm-hmm. He's, like, on the floor, mm-hmm. so his view the whole show is Derek St. Holmes' ass. I mean, I don't know if I'd be smiling. For half an hour.
You picked up a summer tour, you're happy.
Yeah,
Fair enough.
It was like it was a keyboard player for Journey, like Jonathan Cain's Journey's keyboard player, but there was a keyboard player that they had, and I never saw him before or them do this before, where there was a keyboard in black. He's wearing black in the background, and you could see they never mentioned him, never introduced
Aerosmith
him.
Aerosmith has done that when Tom Hamilton was out with cancer. They mentioned him, but he was in the dark.
There's a guy here. There's a Troy Key. Actually, got
a lot of bands do that.
One is to tour, and I felt bad because when I used to play,
I think Queen did that.
Sometimes they do, but it feels bad because sometimes when I first started playing, I was in a Journey cover band, Quebec, and I was playing background keep, and I was also one of the roadies and stuff like. But I'm playing, and they never mention you. You never did anything. Blah blah blah.
Oh,
and
wow.
You're there loading gear, playing along. Blah blah blah. So I felt so bad for this guy. You know, I mean, he's on tour. He's probably getting a good salary.
He's collecting
on a summer
money.
Tour.
He's fine.
You know, but you feel bad.
You
just,
do.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, you could see him. They keep him in the back of you. And I don't know if. I'm another keyboard player, and I'm a very big fan of Jonathan Cain, so I want to see the gear he's running on this tour and stuff like that. And then I see this other guy in the background. I'm like, wow, okay, Journey, they're very big on Roland, but I see he's playing a Korg Triton like I play. You know, so maybe I noticed it more. You know, no, as a musician, you want to see the gear.
I get it. Me, I could care less.
Well, because you're not a musician.
I clearly am not.
Yeah.
But it's funny you mentioned keyboardists, because they had Aerosmith's touring keyboardist, Buck Johnson.
Okay,
and he came on to sing because at the end they close with an Aerosmith Ted Nugent medley, mm-hmm. you know, like a couple songs like Stranglehold and Last Child and Train Kept a Rolling. So Buck Johnson actually came out to sing Last Child instead of Derek St. Holmes, and he sounded a lot like Steven Tyler. It was
really?
Pretty impressive,
mm. huh? So I always find it really interesting when you have somebody who is like either a musician or sometimes some bands will pull somebody out of their crew who just does something really well.
Billy Joel do that.
Yes, that's
did,
what I was thinking.
Rock,
AC/DC, right?
Yeah, the ACD, their roadie Chainsaw, who's been with them for decades, comes out and he sings that.
Chainsaw, it's what you need after Billy Joel crashes the car to get him out.
To get him out. The other crew members, Jaws of Life.
Yeah, exactly. Of course they could sing. They've saved his ass how many times?
Yeah, really.
So, all right, so now we're in between. I was very happy with Whitford St. Holmes. Only played a 30-minute set. Great musicians. You know, the opening band, they're fucking with the sound.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was very happy to see them. So in between shows, I'm standing by an Indian guy who fancies himself an expert in all things Whitesnake, bands, and music gear. You know the type?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But unfortunately, he feels the need to expand upon that ad nauseum to impress his wife and the people around him.
Oh, no.
You know
what gear they play? What gear they use?
Yeah, and they're like, well, this is why it takes, you know, these guys are Hall of Famers, blah, blah, blah. And he talks for a while, and then somebody brings up a point, you know, about certain gear, because he talks about gear and like heads and whatnot, and he doesn't have an answer. You go, oh, he doesn't know shit. He read it off a website.
But wait, now he was doing this during the songs?
No, this was in between.
You know what, though?
So you go, okay.
But if he's another musician, you know, like like I was saying, again, as a musician, you want to see the gear.
Nobody
that those
gives
guys
a shit. You do, if you're talking about the dining with other musicians,
do,
fine.
Yeah, you do if you're right. If you're with other, if you're trying to impress people, yeah, you look like an asshole.
Yeah, it's like it's if like you're you with and other I watching Leno with a bunch of like people who don't do comedy, and we're trying to impress them on the construction of a joke. Nobody fucking gives a shit. Sit there and appreciate it.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if it was just I know what you're saying, but as yeah, comics artist yeah, watching Geno, that's really cool the way he constructed that.
Yeah,
way he went in and he didn't go, but he, you know, but
you
other,
know who you're with.
But other right, exactly, because that's stuff that you and I would be jazzed about. But other people would be like,
yeah,
he just told a joke. What are you doing? You know.
So we're very close to the action. I'm getting great picks. Coverdale sounds great, I think, and I think, and I'll get to that in a moment. I'll get to that in a moment.
Okay, because I have my mouth open like, what?
The band is extremely tight. I was really... Coverdale goes through band members like McClinton does. Like, there's always there's always new people going in and out. Mm-hmm. But Coverdale gets top notch.
Oh, yeah, there's no stress. Some guys, you know, sometimes guys come back. A lot. What I notice is a lot of guys, and we'll, when we get to me, I'll expand on that, but a lot of guys that used to be in bands, stuff like that, are coming out. Summer tours are exactly what they are, summer tours.
Yeah.
Guys will go out, they'll get a call, hey, we're going, you know, they're not doing an album, they're not doing this, but you know what, the
no, wait, no, Coverdale will put them on an album, they'll go out on a tour, and then that's the end.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I mean, they'll, like Coverdale, like guys like Stevie Vai play with him for like an album or two.
Yeah.
So this lineup, and it's been the kind of lineup for a while, you got Reb Beach, who was in Winger. Who's
really, really, really good guitar player.
You got Joel Hoekstra. Do you know who he is?
I know the name.
He was in Night Ranger, and I think he's in, still in the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
I'm looking at them both. Like,
what's he play?
Like
guitar.
They
had two, okay. Yeah, two guitarists. I don't remember the bassist.
Wow, Red Beach is playing with those guys?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, and he's been in the band for a long time, mm-hmm, as it turns out. Here's the thing about Red Beach. Why does he have to make all sorts of orgasm faces when he's playing the guitar? What is this with guitarists that, like, every chord is like somebody's licking a clit? The faces they... I enjoy comedy, but if every punchline struck me in such a way, I need to change my
because
trousers every
couple minutes. Because you get locked into a sound, you get locked into effects, and you're getting this, you know, you get a feel. It's an extension of yourself, to tell you the truth. It sounds kind of cornball.
So he's jerking off in front of us.
Essentially, yes.
Suddenly, I wish I wasn't so close.
I know.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They make all these faces. Well, that, like, really? Like,
because you're locked into a sound. There's just the sound.
Are
of that sound. Yes.
Are you?
Well, yeah.
There's people watching. You look silly.
When you get into that sound and you got that sound locked in, it sounds nice and tight. This is really a great fucking feeling.
I guess.
Only a musician would understand.
I guess.
I kind of understand that. It's some of the people that, like, I'll see musicians, like, if they're playing a solo and their mouths are moving along with what they're playing, almost like they're singing it while they're playing it.
Right.
I kind of get that. But some of the, like, oh,
yeah,
you know.
So you know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
Some of them look really silly.
Yeah, but sometimes there are nights, like, with, you know, at least with the keyboards, there's some nights I can't hear myself, I can't do this, blah, blah, blah. And then there's some nights that everything
is
like
in.
when we play Revolution, the monitors are right on the money. Everything is good, and you could just have such a good time.
Yeah, but
time
we don't
playing.
Need to see your O face. I'm glad you're
and
happy.
And I make them, too. You got to see some. If you ever go on, like, the band website, I'm like, ugh.
Even he's
thanks
repulsed.
For the warning.
And every time I play with a band, no matter if it's Johnny, Rocket, well, Rocket, I can kill it. But, you know, other band, you know, or Sexy Susan, I'm like, all right, just don't make faces. Just play. Don't make faces. See somebody come on the camera, just, you know, look cool and just don't make a face.
Be cool, man. Be cool.
Be cool. Don't make a dumb face that you have to sit and look at Facebook for the next 2 years going, fuck. It's true.
No, I'm sure that is true.
On drums, Tommy Aldridge. You ever hear of him?
Tommy
I'm afraid
Aldridge,
I haven't.
He used to play with Black Oak Arkansas.
He used to play
with
Ozzy. He was in Whitesnake years ago.
Yeah, yeah, very one of the echelon of drummers.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of drum solos, but when you see these 80s bands, they got to do guitar solos, and with Reb and Joel Hoekstra, you get to. And then they're good, and you get the drum solo. The drum solo is generally a piss break. I mean, that's generally when everybody gets up to urinate.
Unless somebody is really, really good.
Go on, and I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. Tommy Aldridge was not a piss break.
No.
Tommy Aldridge, and I've seen a lot of great bands, might have given the best drum solo I have ever seen.
That's saying something.
Where it was actually a highlight of a concert. You don't hear that very often.
No.
First, Tommy's playing the sticks,
And then I posted this on my Facebook page. I posted it because somebody recorded the whole show. I'm sure the band's thrilled. He's actually playing, beating it with his hands. All the drums, the cymbals and everything, just with such ferocity.
Wow.
It was so impressive. Like when the band comes out, they're like impressed with it. And they see it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have never seen anything like that. And I've seen a lot of good bands.
I wish you were at the Journey show last night. One of the key reasons I wanted to go to the Journey show, Steve Smith is playing with Journey now. Dean Castronova, their drummer that they've had, is in the Who's Gal for beating his wife. That's another story.
If he's a baseball player, he'd be fine. Yeah, that's allowed. Oh, or sign with the Mets.
Steve Smith was with Journey during the Escape album, during I forgot the album before it. And
too bad the woman didn't.
Yeah. And also the album was Separate Ways on it. I forgot the name.
I forget, but I know.
Right,
what
you mean. But the main album. Steve Smith is also left the band because he got kind of bored because he's a jazz fusion player. Mm. And what I was trying to alluding to before is that I've read articles throughout the years. He probably came on. There's no album. There's a summer tour. He'd be more than happy to play. He did a solo last night, and essentially what you said is a drum solo is essentially a piss break. Because he is so good and he's got that fluid fusion playing, mm-hmm. he did one of the most amazing drum solos I've ever heard. Neil Peart is the king. I mean, there's no disputing but Neil Peart's technique and really good. Steve Smith's more of a feel player, really, mm-hmm. but he's got technique, but really that feel from his fusion background.
Yeah.
Really, really, really great solo. I mean, it was really, really one of the best ones I've ever heard.
Yeah. I mean, my husband's a drummer, and so. I like to watch him play. He's not the solo kind of guy, though.
Facebook
he doesn't
page,
do that.
Scroll down to last week. I put it up there. The Tommy Aldridge solo.
I'll go look.
It's that good.
There's
hopefully somebody violated Journey, and we can see that solo from last night.
Violated them.
Believe me, a lot of people did. There was a lot of people. Film was really, really good.
All right, let's get back to the Coverdale issue and the hearing him issue.
Yes.
I'm in the fourth row. I think he sounded good because behind me is my Indian friend who fancied himself an expert. You recall him from a few minutes ago.
Mr. Lecture.
He is singing loudly every lyric to every song. Behind me is Samir Coverdale.
Samir was great in the Coverdale group.
Instead of like a hot chick on a Jaguar, there's some Indian girl on a Tata sedan. It's the phone.
Are we expecting a caller?
I'm not. Maybe it's Samir.
Davin's dead.
Somebody trying to sell us insurance, I'm sure. Is it your...
Hey, you're on the radio. You want to do your sales pitch on the radio?
That's what answers the phone at the shop.
All right, all
Davin's right. Davin's dead. Davin's yeah. Breaking.
All right, well, then I guess we're going to have to let you go, but thanks for calling.
I knew somebody was selling something.
Davin, pick up on three. Davin's dead.
She was stunned.
Who was this?
What did she say?
Sounds of cleaning product. Go fuck yourself.
That's who calls the hotlines. Yeah. Salespeople.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
So a lady called Davin's dead.
Dad's dead. You're on the air, ma'am.
He's just trying to sell Lysol, Mac. What are you?
I'm like, you want to do your pitch on the air? She's like, no. I'm like, all right. Well, then you
stupid. We're syndicated. You're lost. Get a scram.
Scram. Beat it.
What about a free commercial?
Now, back to Samir Coverdale. Yeah.
Right.
So he's singing loudly. I'm not at a Whitesnake concert anymore. I am now at IT karaoke.
Customer service karaoke.
That's what that guy you get when your computer breaks. He's singing.
Well, he's got a little loose all day at the help desk, you know.
Oh my God, that's so annoying.
Telling everybody his name is Sam.
But he's not just singing the chorus. Every lyric, every song, he's off key.
Worst.
Let me tell you something.
You going to interrupt?
Yeah, because I was playing a gig with my old band one time. And it
was Samir there?
No, but there was somebody just as worse. This guy that was singing, he was over by the keyboards, singing out of tune, and he's like totally like out of, and he's throwing me off.
Oh, my God.
I go, dude, you got to stop. I can't take my drummer.
You can say that. You're with the band.
Yeah, I
am. Yeah.
And you know how, like, the classic rock singers gesticulate as if they're singing passionately to you?
Yes. Yeah.
You saw it. Well,
he wasn't.
Oh, no.
My Samir is gesticulating to David Coverdale.
Oh, no. Singing to him.
Singing to David Coverdale. The arms are akimbo. He is clapping around me.
Oh, God.
He has B.O.
If you have BO, rule, keep your arms down, stupid.
Really? Oh, but you know what? He probably always has BO.
You're racist.
No, there are all those people.
I didn't say he smelled like a Ramada.
No, I was saying there are all those people that they got BO now. They always have BO.
I'm sorry. It's so inside, and it just snuck in. People aren't going to let it. But if you're a comic, very inside.
Other people have checked into Ramadas.
But
they know.
But still.
Ramada
that one
smell?
Snuck in a setup shop. Wow. Very subtle. Very funny.
Once in a while. Yeah. See, now we have to break it down. No, we don't. Let's let it breathe. I couldn't. Because he's clapping. He's like gesticulating to David Coverdale like he's waiting for David Coverdale to recolonize him. Because David Coverdale was British and they colonized India. David Coverdale's going to set up shop in his ass.
Wait a minute. So now these are like love songs and he's like
every song.
And singing
yes. Oh. Yes. Like you do when you're home alone and you're in a great mood and you're getting ready for a date.
You get the hairbrush and you're really reaching with your arms.
Yes, when you're home alone. We all do it.
Sure.
We just don't do it at the concert. We just don't do it to the guy.
You do it in the car on the highway when the windows are rolled up.
He's now when he's not singing, he's breathing on the back of my stupid head. So I feel violated between his BO and his clapping around me and singing off key in my and his stupid wife is loving every moment of it. Can I tell you, there is no way my wife puts up with any of this shit. She'd be like, really? Look where you are, stupid. Get it together. I know you're having a good time. This is not the place.
Don't you have fun here?
But there's a part of me that appreciates the willingness to let go like you're 10 or retarded. There's because people that work every day generally
have no release.
No, we have a sense of awareness of being around other human beings.
Oh, sure. Sure.
See, I lucked out last night because basically when they were doing Love and Touching and Squeezing,
oh God,
everybody gets up. But I got in a middle seat and it's straight down, so all the dumbbells stand up. I still have a good clear shot at the band.
Yeah, but you're not gesticulating at the lead singer like he might be loving, touching, and squeezing you.
No, but it's like being used to other people at a concert. Sometimes it's maddening.
Yes,
sometimes you sit next to people that are cool, but sometimes you want to strangle people.
Yes.
It is so bad, I am actually looking forward to the instrumental breaks just to get a break from Samir Coverdale.
Oh, man.
You doesn't think he plays air guitar, don't you? I didn't even record much
of it because I knew I was going to pick up Samir.
Oh, that's so awful. Yeah, and you can't at any time.
Dude, where's this gig at a 7-Eleven?
I'll let you guys listen after the show. I actually recorded it, and you can hear Stupid singing off key.
We got to hear Stupid.
Oh, we do have to hear that. Wait, you can't at any time turn around and go, back off.
Well, I mean, I can't. It got so bad.
Couldn't you throw him a really?
Well, it was. Maybe I should. I was.
I really might have done it.
Well, before we get into that, I want to know if this is really horrible of me, and I think it is horrible of me. But there was a fleeting moment. This is going to be horrible. Shut off your radios.
No, not for me. I threatened to kill somebody at Billy Joel last year. I don't need to talk at the Bridge of the Choir.
True. I was thinking, you know what? The Orlando shooter walks in right now. Not so bad. That thought.
And you're going first.
Pushing him
first.
Oh,
and then you get behind him. I don't like Allah. Why you motherfucker?
It's a terrible thought.
It's a terrible thought.
But a reasonable one.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, my fellow despicable man.
Well, I was going to say, look who's giving you his tell you it's
no,
okay.
Wait. You know where you cross the line? Thinking it. Terrible thought. No. Say it on the radio. Now you're despicable.
No, it's my show. I share everything here.
I know you do.
But he's got a point.
Yeah.
There's going to be no knockdown, drag him out debate on this one.
No. So you guys asked me, can you give a really, can you? I don't know. I don't know if you can.
You have to look at the other people around you.
Putting up with it. The wife
is loving. Well, then you're the asshole. I mean, if you say, you got to look at the situation and go, all right, because I think I was in a situation like that yesterday. Like, I'm looking around, like, if I say, nah, I'm the asshole. You got to look around. People are like digging it. All right, if I say, I'm the dick.
Well, like,
so I'll have to deal with it.
The woman in front next to me who he's clapping around also, I mean, she's going like this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like putting her finger in her ear, like, really?
All right, maybe then I really should
have
been
thrown. But she's also smiling back at him.
All right, then.
The guy who I went with, Scott, who's my buddy, you know, I guess it's bothering him.
Did he go to ACDC with us?
Yes, Scott went to ACDC. Right, okay. But he's also dealing with an issue that I'm not dealing with. Apparently there's somebody handicapped there who's like rolling thing is like hitting him in the back of the leg. You can't say anything to him.
Oh.
Looks like you guys are fucked.
Is he like sort of dancing with his wheelchair?
Yeah, I don't know. I was unaware of this until after the show.
There are situations where you could fight back, deal, negotiate, back down, back up, and then there's the situations where no, you just fuck have to deal with it.
Yeah, you're kind of screwed with that one. He was.
So, I didn't do anything. The concert was a great concert. The concert, Whitesnake, was essentially kind of ruined a little bit.
Yeah.
By this guy, and he got a guitar pick, so you know he wet himself like he was playing a guitar solo.
Oh, God.
I mean, what can you do?
You know what?
Because he's got a right to sing.
I know, but not in your ear.
Well, he's singing loudly, and we're packed in there like sardines.
Well, it was like, you know, it's like when I was at Journey last night, the seat I had was like seat 11, which is in the middle of a row. It's there. There were empty seats at the end of the row before it. So I go, I'll just sit here.
Yeah.
And wait. And yeah, it's like roulette where everybody goes, oh no. And I made it every time. As soon as Journey started, the people came. And I'm like, is this all? Oh, now I'm getting pissed off. And then they finally go, no, this is where we're sitting. And I'm like, kind of not. I can't get pissed because I'm sitting in their seats.
Right.
But I'm kind of like, thank God we're done with this shit.
Yeah.
So I just got up and I walked around and I go, excuse me, this is my seat right here. And I sat down. But for the hand, I go, of all the, just as when Journey was coming on, we couldn't do this between the Doobie Brothers and Journey.
Yeah, no.
Or whatever, you know.
Right.
They were out in the parking lot reliving their youth.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
So the move is I really can't do anything. Is that we all agree with that? I wanted to.
No, I think if he was getting close enough to me with the hands and everything.
He's clapping around me. He's breathing on the back of my head like I'm his bitch.
The clapping around you, I would put up my arms and look at him and go, stop.
So?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not afraid to be the bitch at the concert. If somebody is infringing on me and they're like on me.
I think it's different coming from the woman.
I will be saying.
Yeah, I needed
it. It is different. Yeah. Because like I said, if everybody around you doesn't mind it, then you look like the
dick. Well, I mean, listen, no, people definitely thought the guy was an idiot. I mean, there was definitely the looks like, is this guy for real?
Yeah.
You should have shot him a real
one. But it was like kind of like a make-a-wish thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
your
that's
wishes,
how happy he
and
was.
And your wish, well, you know, but your wish is that he would stop.
It is,
being
yeah.
asshole somewhere
but,
else.
But I feel like he was the cancer kid getting to see his band.
You know what? But in a way, it's like we're all adults here, and you are like clapping around my head.
Yeah.
I would put my arm and be like, really? Okay, stop.
I was
that.
Tempted to go give him the old, hey, who sings this song? I was tempted to give him that old one.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know. Here's the thing. You've paid to see the band.
Yes.
This is your band.
Yes.
Why are you singing every song?
Do that at home.
Yeah, you want to hear the band.
Yeah.
I mean, if everyone is shouting along with the song, if everyone is doing that,
there are certain when they
hold
out the guitar,
they hold out
yes.
the mic,
and you also,
like, sing.
You also, what I noticed ruins a show is I had my old phone with me last night because I was in the transition phase, and my old phone kind of was petering out. Plus, I lost service, you know, because Sprint finally decided that I told them to go to hell. So I lost service on it. So
Sprint is what they did after you left the store.
Yeah. So, make a long story short, I couldn't take as many pictures of it. And I was kind of glad because I'm like a Japanese tourist at a concert
we
now.
All are.
Where yes. I got to take. And you know what? It takes away from the experience.
It does.
Now, let's get that Steve Smith solo. I had the phone off because I needed to keep some power on it.
Yeah.
I turned the phone off. When Steve Smith was doing a solo, I go, I got to take a picture. And I'm going, you know what? By the time I get it out and get the damn thing going, it'll probably be done. And
it's kind of like a penis.
I was just going to say, you're talking about the phone?
Yeah. And. And I
think these phones are bigger though than the maker.
Let's Joe's trying to prove a point. No, make a point. But no, but my
and
whole
butterflies and unicorns.
We like unicorns. Anyway,
isolate that next time. Everybody likes unicorns.
We love like flying unicorns.
Everybody
loves
that.
But anyway, I decided I'm going to leave the phone alone because why am I going to miss a great drum solo horsing around with a phone?
Well, so you can record it and share it with your friends.
To try to get some of it for the phone to screw up and not. I just screw it. I'm going to enjoy this live and commit it to memory. And sometimes you commit stuff to memory. When I went to see Rush 4 years ago, I guess it is, 3 years ago.
So much for memory.
Yeah, really. I did, you know, film some of it, stuff like that. But when Rush came around again, the seats weren't that good. But the experience that I had at the last Rush show I went to, was just on memory, was just amazing, where if I never saw Rush again, and I don't think I ever will, so I don't know if they're going to tour again, that show was really one to go out on, man. It was really good. So, you know, sometimes it's nice when you don't have to horse around with the phone and tweet. And believe me, I'm guilty as an expert. I'm always, you know, we were at the concert, I see them horsing around, you know, this, that. But it's nice to, you know, sit and enjoy old school before there was any technology.
Actually, you know, it's like I wish that there were the days where people didn't have all these phones. People would sit and actually listen to the music. They wouldn't be talking about, you know, all kinds of shenanigans while the musicians are playing. It's not just like you're so rich that you can afford over $100 for a seat and then talk during it. You actually, and you don't have the shortest attention span like a flea. You actually pay attention to what they're doing up there and get into it. I loved that, and I miss that tremendously.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I got all these concert moments that I have. I go, God, I got this. I haven't looked at it.
Right.
And when it's time to delete stuff, oh, I got to hold on to this. What for? You haven't looked at
it. You haven't looked at it.
But it's stupid. It's stupid. And you feel like an idiot, but the human element says, I got to hold on to this. I'm not going to delete this.
Oh, I know. It's like live your life. Actually experience the things that you're in. Be in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the second show I went to, it was a two-show week.
Wow.
Yeah. And I went to the carnival on like Saturday. It was like, wow, I'm in my 20s again.
Yeah, really?
Burning the midnight oil. I saw Soul Asylum.
Oh, wow.
Which, a band from the 90s. Actually, they started in 83.
Yeah,
but they were big in the 90s.
Very, very, very great band. I would have liked to go. But I had an open house and do stuff.
They actually played Bill Clinton's inauguration.
Wow.
Because they had that big song, Runaway Train, where they showed the kids pictures. They had a bunch
Right.
They had a bunch of songs that were popular. And a band called English Beat, who I'd never heard of.
The English Beat. They were great.
Oh, well, that was who was opening. Actually, it was a co-headline thing. I'd never heard of them. From the early 80s. A ska band.
Sooner or later.
Ska.
Now you're interested.
I like it.
Ska.
So I saw this. They're playing the Wellmont. I saw that. I'm like, oh, wow. Tickets are like $27. Yeah. Maybe I'll get. Then I saw Eddie Trunk was giving away tickets. So I emailed Eddie Trunk.
Who's that?
Eddie, big radio guy.
Big heavy metal radio guy. The authority on metal music. Really great guy.
And he also had a television show on VH1 Classic.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does radio shows. He's got several radio
shows. Oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah. Jersey guy, Eddie Trunk, big music guy. So he was giving away, I saw on his website, because I check out his website from time to time, he's giving away tickets. All he had to do was email him and I'll let you know if he got. It turns out he was also giving away Whitesnake tickets, which tells me people are not going to see these bands.
Right.
Which I'll get to in a second. So I'm like, all right, well. And then he emails me Friday morning, free tickets. Which I was thinking about paying to see them, but once it's free,
yeah.
This is the first concert I ever went to by myself.
Oh wow!
I've never solo concerted.
Really?
Yes.
I rarely go to concerts with people. I go mostly alone.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna end up going to a concert alone tomorrow because nobody. I couldn't believe it. Nobody really wants to go. I'm gonna go see Chris Cornell, and nobody's interested.
Really?
Lead singer for Soundgarden.
No, we know who he is.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good show.
Yeah. Sure. Wanna go?
Now I gotta go over some songs.
Yeah, we got stuff to do.
Yeah
fine. See, nobody wants to go.
I like being with people better because you get to discuss the concert experience.
Yeah.
But, you know what, free's free. I hate to pass up free tickets.
Right.
So I went. Now their T-shirts are selling for $25. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to get a Soul Asylum T-shirt. I like the band. I'll support them.
Yeah,
$25 isn't outrageous, except their shirts look like shit.
What do you mean look like shit?
All right. First of all, one of them's white. Yuck. Another one is like the album cover, which is like a monkey holding a phone. Yuck. Another one was like a red one, which was kind of cool, which was an SA for Soul Asylum, but you couldn't really tell it was Soul Asylum.
So it could be anybody.
What was the merch meaning like? All right, we know that we make money off of merch, but let's go out of our way not to make a fucking dime.
Yes! Yeah! I should have been consulted. I should have been consulted.
I know.
And I should have been on speaker.
Yes. And they had one concert shirt with tour dates.
Oh.
And I think if you're going to sell merch at a concert, I think the tour date is very, to me, very important.
I like that.
I think you need the tour date on it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the concert shirts with tour dates were from 2015.
Oh. Oh, man.
Sort of like been there, done that, huh?
So they're still recycling them? They pulled them out and they're still selling them?
Yeah,
that's
so
really lame.
As much as I wanted to support Soul Asylum.
You couldn't.
I mean, you've cleared stuff out of your merch table. I mean,
sure.
Nothing against
fuck
you.
Fuck the French Cinco
you know,
de Caco. Things got to move.
Yeah.
not doing the joke anymore.
I'm in business.
I'm not trotting it out, though, on the main thing.
Still, if it's there, you know, I understand that you got to turn inventory.
I understand,
you know?
But I also have new shirts.
Yeah.
And the shit doesn't say, hey, I made this in 2008. You want to buy it?
Well, I mean, it's cool if you're a fan of the band and there's like some logo or there's some album art that was like, this is their breakthrough album or this is the one that everybody
loves.
Not
this. No.
But it's like, you're not a huge fan of the band. It's like the monkey on the phone. Most people are like, what?
Yeah, right.
I happen to remember that when you said it, but it's like, most people are going to be like, what's that? You call what a monkey
on a smartphone
calls. Yeah. What is that about?
I really wanted to buy something, but I couldn't justify because I didn't like the shirts enough. Mm. If the red SA for Soul Asylum had the tour dates on the back, I would have done that. I would have bought that.
Yeah.
But they didn't, so I did not. Mm. So you knew who this English beat was. I had no idea who this was.
I remember
so
them.
When they first hit the stage, it's pretty empty in there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And apparently, tickets did not sell well for this. Because somebody else told me they had a friend who works at the Wellmont. They were trying to give tickets away.
Oh.
Eddie Trunk's giving tickets away for this.
Soul Asylum is a really, really, really good band that nobody really gave a shit about.
Dancers Union was their big album.
Yes.
Because they had someone to show. Yeah, I mean, they have really good songs.
I'm not saying they suck.
Look,
sometimes bands that are very, very good don't get the recognition
you feel.
But it's
also the 90s. The only band that's real touring from the 90s and doing well is Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Pearl Jam's the only one that's still playing Madison Square Garden.
All right, let's be realistic. Those days are about 20 years ago. So the audience, the demo for that audience is now in their mid-40s.
They should be going.
And they should be going, but you got to get a sitter, you got to this.
I go, people go, we see their shows.
You know, I mean, hell, even Neil Sean last night was going, it's Monday, thank you for coming out. Yeah, because he knows his demo. You know?
Yeah.
Thanks for getting a sitter.
Yeah. Essentially, that's what he was saying.
Thanks for not having too much brand so you could sit through the drum solo.
No, the drum solo's good, but Neil Sean was like, we know it's Monday, thank you for coming, you know? And a fucking journey, you know?
So this is a co-headliner. It's starting to fill up as English Beat goes on. English Beat did an hour 15. I enjoyed about the first 20 minutes. I was fine.
Yeah.
This is kind of school ska. They got the horns. They got the Jamaican guy.
Yeah.
I guess Dave Wakeling is the guy, the original guy from the band.
Yes.
Hour 15?
I did not need an hour 15 of this.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did not need an hour 15. That was a lot for me.
Yeah.
That was like the Doobie Brothers. Like, I like the Doobie Brothers a lot, but I don't know if you saw what I tweeted last night. I'm like, hey, guys, you got anything off the Shit We Know album? Yeah.
Which for me, I don't really know anything of it. Like, what was it, Blackwater River or something?
Oh, Blackwater. I know a lot.
China Grove?
Yeah, China Grove. Yeah, I know a lot of stuff, but they were doing like some
Jesus
deep
is just all right.
They did
with
that,
me.
But they were doing some deep cuts last night.
I didn't know that was them.
Yeah. I did a great version, really good version of it last night. But there was a lot of deep cuts where I'm like, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a Monday night show. You get the Monday night set.
I want to hear the hits.
Yeah.
I want to hear the hits, damn it.
Well, that's why all these bands are trapped. They have to play the hits.
Yeah, plus,
yes.
I'm just sitting there trying to beat the rain, and it just started to really start to rain as Journey finished, so it worked out. But you're sitting there going, come on, get Journey on. I want to get fucking wet.
So, then there's a half an hour break, and as was weird, some of the English Beat were actually deconstructing their equipment and everything.
Really?
Right.
Yeah. You know, cause I'm used to seeing the roadies come on. There wasn't really a lot of it. These guys deconstructing.
They're working crew for themselves.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which a lot of bands do. But
yeah.
I never saw that before.
Yeah. So it was kind of weird. And then I think both bands share the same drum kit. While this is going on, this 450-pound black guy, I'm guessing, sit behind the drum kit. I don't know if he had Vaseline in his hair. I should also say, I am not standing by the stage. Even though I could stand by the stage, I am seated further back because at this age, there's no reason to stand if there's perfectly good seats. Once again, giving into my old age.
Yeah.
But I could be at the front of the front, but I did not do that. I think all olds like us would sit when given a choice.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, well, but he's just kind of sitting there, this black guy, and he's not really doing anything. I'm like, all right, I guess he's the tech guy working the drums. I don't know. Making sure everything sounds good for when Soul Asylum comes out.
Yeah, who knows?
Lights go dark. He's still there. Turns out he's the fucking drummer from the band.
No! He's just sitting there.
Yeah, he's just sitting there. Yeah. He's just sitting there while the crew is working. Apparently, he's so large he can't walk out with the rest of the band. I don't know.
Maybe when bizarre. The lights are down, he'd probably break his ass trying to get over through everything. So, like, just go up there, blend in. And, you know, when the lights go down.
I am not going to touch that at all.
Yes, you're on dangerous ground, young man.
Settle down, Donald. That could go either way.
Oh, cut it out. I didn't mean it that way.
I say Donald's mind automatically goes, oh, shit, I might have said something.
I didn't mean it that way. Cut it out.
Lisa says he was wedged. He's stuck there.
You ever try to get around equipment when it's dark and stuff
no?
like
oh,
that?
No,
it's
no,
a,
no.
It's a fed yeah. and it's like a bouncing.
The rest of the band can do it. I guess he can't.
No, but let me tell you something. I was a roadie getting around all that shit during a show and trying to not pluck. It's very, you got to be like a fucking ballerina to do all that.
Yeah,
shit.
No, you trip over it, like just like a, you know, a bag, a cooler.
One of the funniest things is when we had an old video, one of the old bands, and my buddy Lloyd was a roadie with us, and we had the video of the band, and he knocked every switch out of the back line. And it was funny, we're watching the video at the house the next day, you just see all the lights go on, the amps out as he's going fucking past.
He's spaz.
Oh,
my
it was
God.
Fucking horrendous.
So Dave Perner is the lead singer and the lead guitarist. He's the only guy from the Salad Days still with the band. Everybody else is fairly new.
Yeah.
So he's the last guy that's left. So it's his band. It's always been his band. So they come out and they're good. They're really it's a 90s rock band is different than an 80s rock band. And you really see just the way they are on stage. And you really see, but as the night goes on, people are like leaving. People that were there
really?
For English Beat are now leaving.
They're done and
leaving during Soul Asylum.
They're a really strange mix. Just because
it is a very
they came
strange
up
mix.
During the same
but
time.
But I was watching people leave during Journey. The people like where the people I was sitting next to, they left. They left. I don't know if it was because of the rain or whatever.
Well, when you got weather factored in, you don't want to make it. But still, it just goes to show that I guess people are there for different bands. But I felt bad for Soul Asylum. I mean, and they didn't really let on. Not that I would know. I'm sure they have their own way of knowing. Looking at each other, these people suck. But you know, like comics do. Yeah. Like my way of telling the audience so the comics know is, oh, you guys are great. You guys are a lot of fun. That usually means I hate them.
So I know. It's like it's really hard to go up and you talk to somebody who just performed and you really didn't like them. You know, it's like especially in a play. It's like, oh God, you were good. I just go, oh wow, it's such a fun play.
Yeah.
And it's like that's my way of saying I have no idea what to say to you because it kind of sucked.
Yeah. Like Dave Perner said a couple times, oh, you guys were much too kind. And I'm thinking. Does he mean it, or does he think these people suck a bag of dicks?
If you see the bass player go, yeah, like an inside, an asshole.
Yeah.
So people are leaving, and I feel bad as a performer. I mean, that's never
sure.
really happened to me when I'm closing a show where there's a mass exodus. But I've been I mean, because Soul Asylum has to notice that the place is half as full, and it's fucking free tickets.
You know, that's a really hard gig for the performers.
Yeah.
Because you're not filling the place. So people, it's like when people have to perform at casinos. A lot of those tickets are given away. And so people walk in because they're like, oh, it's free.
Yes.
You know? And they're not really into the
yes.
band or the performer.
Happens a lot.
At all.
It happened. Yeah. And also as a band, one night my band was playing on a Friday night, my band Emerald, and the crowd was like, eh. And my drummer, Louie, was going, these guys. I go, Louie. And I had to explain to him, I go, Lou, it's Friday night. They're tired. They probably were drinking and stuff like that. They're digging it. They're just not going to get a response. You're going to get on a set. I learned that from doing comedy. But an audience is an audience.
Yeah.
You know, you go see a band. They're not, you know, they listen to the tune. And, you know, every 5 minutes, they're going to, you know, but it's a Friday night, man. They're chilling. They got something to eat. They're just kicking back. They're not going to be into it as if they were off all Saturday. And now it's party time on a Saturday night. You know, it's part of being an entertainer. You know?
So it's a really small audience as the night goes on. So they wrap up the set, and then they do the encore. They leave for the encore. And I'm thinking, I didn't know 90s bands do this. Do we really have to do the encore considering what this is? Can't we just play straight through? And a little side note, our drumming friend, did not leave when the rest of the band left. The light
just, oh my
just
God.
Pack him.
He stayed there. I think if you're going to sell the illusion that you may not come back, I think all the band members need to leave. That's my rule for encores. Everyone must exit the stage.
I don't think anybody pretends that they're really not going to come back anymore.
But yeah, but if you're going to do the horse shit by walking off, at least everybody leave.
I think that's a pee break.
I don't.
What's this guy got a colostomy bag?
Maybe.
Journey came out to do an encore song.
Of course they did.
Yeah, but you didn't. But a lot of people didn't expect it. And I was just
why not?
I don't know.
Have they never been to a concert?
No,
before?
It was starting, you know, because everybody's getting old. It was starting to rain. Everybody ran like hell.
They come out instead of clapping. Everybody's like, "Oh, enough already!"
I'm not leaving till the house lights come on.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know?
Lisa said they're made of sugar. They're afraid they're going to melt.
Now, one time I always stay because it was one night at Jones Beach with Def Leppard where they did two encores. And then everybody, you know, well, I guess that's it. And started to leave. They came back out. You won't know this. You might not know the song. You will. They came out and did All the Young Dudes with Ian Hunter.
With Ian Hunter. Why was Ian Hunter there?
Because it's New York. Ian Hunter's based
in
New York.
He just was there.
And he must have came out because he lives in New York.
Oh, shit.
And he said, well, he'd probably pick you up in a van. You can run out. Do the song with us. So, yeah. So as a third encore, because you're expecting two.
Yeah.
Nobody was expecting third. A lot of people left. And he did a third, All the Young Dudes with Ian Hunter.
See,
incredible.
I don't leave until the house lights come up.
That's why you
know.
That's why you know.
So for the encore, usually there's a couple hits that they play.
Yeah.
Dave Perner opened with a joke, a straight joke. Yeah, no. I don't need my... And
hearing
I
this, Davin will open his set this weekend with Runaway Train.
Yeah, exactly. 20 minutes...
Both audiences will be going, what the fuck?
20 minutes into my set, I don't break out the guitar and go, guitar solo. No, stay in your lane, stupid. I've talked about this before. I saw Peter, Paul, and Mary, and they all did...
Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Yeah, when they were all still alive.
Yeah. I'm shocked too. Why?
What? You don't what? Even. Why would you go see them? You don't even. That's not your era.
I like Puff the Magic Dragon. Well, my mom was supposed to go with my dad, but she couldn't make it, so I went with my dad.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense.
So they all did the stuff together, and then they all did solo stuff, and Mary comes out there and does stand-up. No. And she's talking about like how she can't work her VCR. That old shit.
Oh, dear God.
And he's opening with, I'm like, come on, dude.
But you want to know something, they're hippies. So that when they would say, that'll be groovy. You know, yeah, and nobody's going, what the fuck?
Yeah, everybody's smoking and going, so when you're going to do interpretive dance during the intermission?
Let me tell you something. If I went in front of Joe Cumia or Johnny Race or John Wahlberg, yeah, and said, I want to do some stand-up between sets, I would be El Kabonged.
No, not between. During. Yeah. During. While Joe's retuning his fucking stupid bass,
you could
do a tight five.
The only time we had to do anything close to stand-up is when Joe's bass broke at a Rot Gut show. It was about 2 years, actually 2 years ago, and Anthony and I work in a crowd, and I looked at him and I go, you got anything? Nope, I'm done. What about you? No, he didn't. Hope stupid gets out here.
So... the band, the music was good. Here's the thing, and then I want to get to Joe's told a lot about his journey story throughout this.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. We'll tie the bow on this. Mm. But I don't. They were giving away tickets for Whitesnake. They're giving away tickets for Soul Asylum. People apparently weren't taking them.
Yeah.
Comedy's been giving away tickets for years. I think unless you're the top of the top, people are not going out to live shows anymore.
They're picking and choosing.
And this is how musicians are making their money now, because they're not making it off record sales. And this is how comics make their money from touring. I do not think people are going out.
No.
Unless it's like we're all going to see Guns N' Roses. Well, not you, but everybody's going to see Guns N' Roses because they're reuniting again.
Right.
But, you know, but nobody's going to see the lesser bands.
No.
Because I think the art of live performance is starting to go to the wane, especially because what you think about it, as you get older, people that went to go see these bands
are dying.
Well, getting older. Let's look at that.
Dying.
Stroking out. Well, and they're not going out to shows. They're not going, especially at the rock clubs, they're not going out.
But they're not coming out to comedy either, and comedy's been giving away tickets for years.
Yeah, and also with the band.
People don't want to pay for live entertainment anymore because they'll stay at home, watch it on TV or YouTube or Hulu or whatever the hell, or Netflix. They don't want to see the live. It's a shame.
Well, I also think about the ticket prices, too. You know, ticket prices are mixed.
Soul Asylum cheap tickets were $27. You can go. On a Friday night, you can go.
Yeah.
I'm sure Journey gave away tickets. You said there was empty seats. I'm sure that you were giving away tickets.
Most likely. You know, but it's like every year it gets harder and harder. I think the internet has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
You know,
little live entertainment.
Yeah. You know, you could see it on the, you know, you could pretty much see anything on the internet. The younger people don't want to go out anymore. They just want to hang out.
I think even the older people are stars.
Well, the older people, you know, going out to the concert now, it's like, you know, what's it to do? You got to deal with tray. You know, you get a little picky with stuff. There's traffic. There's the guy with the body odor clapping over me. You know, it's
not going to be a standard.
It's gonna
That's a standard part of your concert experience.
It's gonna rain. Oh, beer is $15. Blah blah blah. You know, so it all adds up.
So tie the bow on this segment. Tell us about Journey, what you have not told us.
Pretty much it was a pretty good. Arnel Panetta,
Arnel!
Yeah.
I love him.
Really good guy, but he runs around.
Really good guy. Were you hanging after the show?
But he seems like a good guy, but he's a little Filipino kid. It looks like Journey's waiting for their laundry to get
done. He's not a kid anymore, dude.
I know, but he's so petite that he looks much younger than he is.
He's got to be in his, what, 30s?
I'm sure.
He's been with the band since, what, 90, late 90s?
I know.
Not that long.
He's been with the band a long time.
Not a long time.
He's been with the band.
He's been with the band about six years.
No, I think it's more than that.
No.
Because they've put out an album.
No, they put out actually. One. No, they put out two albums.
Yeah.
And he started playing with them about 6 years ago because Steve Aggeri left the band. And what happened was Neil Sean was on the internet and saw him singing in a Journey cover band.
Yeah. He sounds good.
He does.
He sounds great.
Here's the thing. I cannot see, unless the guy is dead and Steve Perry's still alive, and I know he doesn't want to tour. That's why he's not with the band.
Yeah, it's not.
I have a hard time going to see these bands if the lead singer's not there. I did it with Queen because Freddie's not coming back.
The thing with Panetta is that...
He probably sounds better than Steve Perry at this point.
He does. He probably does. But the thing about him is he's kind of unique and he's kind of likable, and it's kind of like... a rock star story, and you know, so people really accepted him. It's the acceptance where Steve Aggeri and Jeff Scott Soto before that, they really didn't accept those guys as much as they accept him.
No, I mean,
and
I get
flat
it.
Out
you
nails these
see
songs.
These, it's just hard for me to spend money.
Yeah.
Without the lead singer.
But the thing about it is that there's a whole new generation. I felt so old because Neil Sean was saying, well, actually Ross Valerie, the bass player, goes, we're going to be doing something off of Escape. He goes, actually, this month is the 35th anniversary of Escape.
Felt
older now. You notice that 35 years ago, if you notice young people know Steve Perry, but you got to think about kids that may be getting into Journey. They're probably in their teens and 20s.
Yeah.
They know Dean Castronova is the drummer. They know Arnel Panetta is the singer. They might have known Steve Perry, but they might be more in tune. Where they might be looking at Steve Smith playing drums, going, "Who's this guy? Who this guy was there for Escape? Who was there for Frontier, for those albums and stuff like that, and didn't know the history that he had. So, you know, it's just the whole, I look at Journey now as the whole, everybody in the band that's been in the band as a total.
Right.
You know? So, you know, it's good, and they still draw. Def Leppard is...
They were opening for Def Leppard a couple years ago.
Were they?
I'm pretty sure that was a tour they were doing.
Maybe it was a doubleheader.
It's not a doubleheader when the same guy
was headlining. Now, here's the deal. Def Leppard's coming around. And Joe Elliott might get my money again. I got to figure that out.
Are you kidding me?
Maybe. But here's the deal. Talk about tickets. There are people that are out in the courtyard area of the venue selling tickets like for $20, and not scalpers.
I could have tickets to that for free. I just have no interest in seeing Def Leppard anymore.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, we're talking about the ticket price. Yeah, you're giving tickets away at $20 a piece and not the scalper guy outside. The venue people for future show.
Def Leppard comes around every year. That's the problem. They need to go away for a while. They play this area every year.
Well, maybe that's the thing, is that because they make money touring, they need the money.
Right. Well, now they're giving away the tickets.
Yeah.
Anything else about the Journey concert?
That was pretty much it. The only thing is I didn't even realize Dave Mason opened before Doobie Brothers.
Just found that out.
Yeah. Now the thing about
what'd you think about his band?
I didn't see Dave Mason's band. I didn't get there till. But the funny thing about Dave Mason is that I actually saw him play. There was a luxury hotel that's right down the street from the day program.
Mm-hmm.
And me, my boss, and my regional manager were coming back from dinner with one of our associates, and they were having a grand opening party. I'm like, My boss is like in that little area. He's the guy, you know. He goes, you guys want to go for a drink? I'm like, yeah, sure. You got a boss. We go in and we go in the hotel and they have, there's Dave Mason playing. Dave Mason.
Yeah, I know.
And there's like people like barely paying attention to him. And I'm like, this business sucks.
Yeah, right? Right? Doesn't it?
This
I know.
Business sucks.
Well, that's kind of what I said. Nobody's going out anymore.
Nobody's going to see these guys.
All right.
Well, we're gonna take our first break. We're gonna play some new music on the break on the live show. We got a new song from Mark Orrell and Raymond Rave with their new single "Feel Alive," and we got Greyhound OCD. First time we're playing this band on our show with their new single "Open Eyes." Greyhound OCD with their new single "Open Eyes." You can learn more about both these bands at khb-music.de. khb-music.de. Plenty of more show. Plenty more Davin's Den ahead. So don't go anywhere and enjoy the tunes.